The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland proudly present Where We Worship. This 30-minute locally produced program highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic parishes and institutions, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of those they serve. Now here's your host, Bob Tayak.
Welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. This program sponsored in part by the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. We are more than ever keenly aware of our parishes and Catholic institutions and their importance in how we worship and develop our relationship with the Lord. Well, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops best describes the parish as the place where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, of action, and of hope, and they are where the gospel is proclaimed and celebrated. Parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are the heart of the church. And why are they essential to our relationships with God? Well, one only needs to turn to Scripture. In his letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul writes, "We must consider how to rouse one another to live and do good works. We should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more, as you see the day drawing near." Well, today on Where We Worship, we look at the history, the current ministries, and the people of St. Monica Parish in Garfield Heights on Cleveland's southeast side. Historically, it's one of those parishes established following the end of the Second World War, which grew immediately to prominence as a major institution, serving portions of Garfield and Maple Heights with a vibrant Catholic presence and school. And the role of the parish has changed with changing demographics in the community, but nevertheless, St. Monica's remains a vital fixture in the community. And this is your host, Bob Tayak, and joining me on Where We Worship is the pastor, Father Tom Heron, who's joined by the principal of St. Benedict Elementary School on the St. Monica campus, Mrs. Lisa Oridi, and longtime St. Monica parishioner Jim Joyce. And first, Father Tom, I need to explain that St. Monica's is playing a significant role in the activities of this radio station during this month of August. As you know, you and the parish are part of a very special prayer effort, a novena to St. Monica, which is being prayed leading up to her feast day at the end of the month. So I'll ask you to please explain that for us and the role of the parish here.
Well, St. Monica is a very special saint. I'll talk about her in a second. But the novena to St. Monica has to do with our prayer. It's a 9-day prayers that are going to be prayed on the radio station. And it's going to conclude with a special Mass celebration here at St. Monica Church at 7 o'clock p.m. in the evening on the actual feast of St. Monica on August 25th. And we're going to have Bishop Grease is going to be there, Father Brown from the station, myself, and many other priests and deacons, and also hopefully many people that have been praying the novena. And we're going to celebrate it here on the grounds of St. Monica Church.
Father, this novena is especially significant for parents who have watched their children stop practicing the faith, is it not?
Yes, it is. And I think all of our families, I think most of us have had family members who have left the Catholic Church, and we're all wondering, what can we do? And one thing we can do is we can pray for our family members and friends and ask the intercession of St. Monica, who prayed for her son for a long time, to bring them back to the Catholic Church.
Well, that's true. And that St. Monica story is a special one as we talk about her role in the development of the Catholic faith. Could you expand on that a little for us?
Yes. St. Monica lived towards the end of the 4th century, and she had a husband named Patricius, and she had two sons, and one of them was Augustine. Augustine was very special, but he was never baptized as a youngster, and he followed the example of his father. And one of the great desires Monica had was that Augustine and her husband Patricius would come into the Catholic Church. Well, for many, many years, she kept praying, and Augustine led not an exemplary life. Eventually, she kept following him and kept praying for him to come back into the church and to be baptized. And finally, when he went over to Italy, over towards Rome, he met a priest named St. Ambrose, who eventually brought him into the Catholic Church. And this was the ultimate answer to her prayers. And shortly after that, St. Monica died. But one of the beautiful things was her prayers were answered. Not only did Augustine come into the church, but her husband Patricius and Augustine's brother all came into the Catholic Church because of her prayers.
And we know the influence subsequently of St. Augustine as one of the real doctors of the church, and what transpired since with his teachings and his philosophies that were expanded upon. And I'll maybe turn to Jim Joyce on this one. St. Monica Parish founded April 1st, 1952. You'll be soon celebrating a 70th anniversary as a parish. But Jim, can you talk about the early days of St. Monica's and its development there in Garfield Heights?
Well, our family moved here in 1957, actually on my fifth birthday in March. We started here in the first grade shortly thereafter. It had to be 1958. My sister and I graduated in 1966, younger sister a few years later. The parish was a hotbed of activity. I remember Mom and Dad both belonged to the organizations here in the parish, the PTU, the Holy Name Society. It seemed every weekend they had something going on here. Dances and dinners, New Year's Eve parties, just packed. The whole neighborhood seemed to be going to St. Monica Church. Or St. Monica's school also. We had upwards of 1,200 kids in the school in the early and mid-60s when we attended here. There was everything going on. And that's where all our friends, even today, were all made up of people here from St. Monica. It was just a wonderful place. I mean, everyone knew each other, whether you lived over in Maple Heights or Garfield Heights. I just remember all the fun time we had and how active the whole parish was in everything we did. I mean, it was wonderful.
It sounds like a very special place and very much part of the community. When we come back after the break, I want to ask you about Father Hugh Gallagher and his influence on that parish. We'll be returning and talking about St. Monica Parish, a bastion as well of education in Garfield Heights, as we continue on Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock Radio, with special thanks to the Diocese of Cleveland for support of this program. And this is your host, Bob Tayak, with a message for our listeners. Are you a digital subscriber to the weekly email newsletter provided by the Diocese of Cleveland? Well, right before the weekend begins, the Diocese delivers a series of updates and stories from ministries throughout Northeast Ohio, as well as Bishop Edward Malesic's Gospel Reflection of that Sunday. So be sure to visit dioceseofcleveland.org and click on the subscriber box that pops onto your screen. And now, as our interview continues, my guests are the pastor of St. Monica's Parish in Garfield Heights, Father Tom Heron, along with Mrs. Lisa Aridi, the principal at St. Benedict's School there on the campus, as well as longtime parishioner Jim Joyce. And Jim, we left off from the last segment with a reference to Father Hugh Gallagher. And all I kept reading and hearing about was that his influence and impact on the development of that parish was just, second to none. Could you give us a little insight on Father Hugh Gallagher, one of the first pastors?
Oh, Father Gallagher was a real character, that's for sure. He actually led the parish by example. He was always involved, was always right there with everyone at the different functions and in the school. You'd always see him going up and down the school in his cassock, up and down the hallway, visiting the classrooms. He did it his own way. He developed the whole parish. Soon after it was built and established with the church and the initial school building, a few years later, it was decided they had to add on an addition of 8 more classrooms. And soon after that, a new convent for the nuns that were teaching here at St. Monica. I can remember there were probably maybe only 5 or 6 lay teachers at the time, and that's how it was back in the old days. The religious were in the schools. Like I said, he did it his own way. You couldn't say no to him. His mind was made up. He would just go and do it, with permission or not. But he was a wonderful man, very well respected by everyone, And it was a sad day when he actually retired in the 80s back here at St. Monica.
No, it must have been. Well, let's talk a little bit now about education, and maybe I'll look to Father Tom. The parish had to make a move from what Jim described as those baby boomer demographics to consolidation in recent years, St. Monica School then becoming St. Benedict. Can you explain that process and what's transpired there?
About 12 years ago, Father Lubiola of St. Martin of Tours Church and myself, we both recognized that there was a need for Catholic education, and both of our schools were, the number of students was declining, and many of the schools, Catholic schools around here, were closing. So we worked with our own communities, with St. Monica Parish and with our parishioners at St. Martin of Tours, and we met for about 2 years, and we worked with the Diocese of Cleveland, and eventually we formed a new school that's called St. Benedict Catholic School, which has been now in existence for about 10 years. It's a difficult process, but it was something very, very special. And we'll hear a little bit about this from Mrs. Arredi. She's the original principal of the school, and she's done a lot to make this school what it is today.
Yes, Mrs. Arredi, this is interesting. Jim had just described the huge impact during the baby boom years of expansion of the school, but it's a different mission today, and I wonder if you could talk about that after the merger with St. Martin of Tours becoming St. Benedict. How do you see it and the mission of St. Benedict School?
Well, I think it is even more important to carry out our mission in today's society. Our mission states that St. Benedict School provides an excellent Catholic education rooted in the gospel message of peace, acceptance, and understanding and service to others for all children in our community. I believe, as our mission states, we are a Catholic school. That's very important to us. And our Catholic faith is one of the greatest gifts we can give our families. We are here to bring Christ to our community, and our Catholicity is infused in every aspect of our day. We not only provide a solid education, but one that teaches moral principles needed in everyday life. This is what we are called to do within our community, and we take our mission very seriously.
You know, I reflect on what Jim had described as, you know, this predominantly Catholic community at the time that he was going to school and so forth, but now you've got non-Catholic students who enroll. How do you accommodate them?
We do. I think Catholic education, as I said, is an important part of our culture. And even though many of our students are non-Catholic, we still are a Catholic school, and our Catholicity is infused within our day. The students attend Catholic religion classes every day. We attend Mass once a week. Our Catholic education not only teaches, like I said, general education, but also balances education with a deep spiritual immersion, which I feel is why we do what we do.
That's interesting. When you say a deep spiritual immersion, what do you mean by that?
Just involving our faith within every aspect of our day. You know, we begin our day with prayer. We end our day with prayer. Like I said, students attend religion classes. Our teachers are true spiritual role models for our students, and we bring our faith to them. We're not here to convert any of our students, but as a result of our Catholicity, our strong Catholicity, we have several students who join and their parents join the Catholic faith each year, which is awesome to all of us.
Now, let me ask you the million-dollar, pardon the pun, question here, the challenge of keeping the school operating financially in these pandemic times. How have you been able to do that?
We have always been financially sound, thank God. But through the funding of the state, we have received various funding to help us through the pandemic. We are still able to be financially sound, and those monies we are using to bridge the education gap caused by COVID-19. This year, we started a summer program, which is free to our students. But with that funding, we're able to, you know, provide that, update our technology, and continue to provide a strong education for our children within the community.
And I'm going to guess you hit a hot button there with updating our technology. There is so much to a new component to education, using the computer and so forth, even for the youngest children. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. You know, today is a digital world, and our students are not the same as they were 20, 30 years ago. Our students you know, are used to technology. They're very good using the technology, so we have to meet them where they're at. And one positive thing that came out of COVID is we were able to provide one-to-one technology for all of our students. So students in grades K through 8 do have their own Chromebook. Our teachers have the technology they need to, you know, engage our students in their learning. One area where we do not use technology as much is in our preschool and our, obviously, daycare, which we're opening up this fall, is because we want our students to learn those important social skills and not spend so much time on technology.
Very interesting. Well, coming up, St. Monica and Garfield Heights, its current ministries, activities, and liturgies on Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio, and our focus for this broadcast, St. Monica Parish in the southeast Cleveland suburb of Garfield Heights. And I'm your host, Bob Tayak, and my guests are Pastor Father Tom Herron, principal of St. Benedict Elementary School on the St. Monica campus, Mrs. Lisa Oridi, and longtime parishioner Jim Joyce. And I think I'll start with looking at a little of the history again. Jim, I look to you because I think we can't talk about St. Monica's and its involvement in the community without looking back at something that I think really became part of Maple Heights and Garfield Heights history, and that was the St. Monica Carnival every summer. That was really quite an event, was it not?
Oh, it surely was. It started way back in the mid-50s. They had carnival rides, the gambling booths, bingo, food prepared by the ladies of the parish, and it filled the whole parking lot of St. Monica's. It was always traditionally one of the last weekends of July. It lasted well into the 2000s here, and we've had to do something different. But as a kid, I just remember it actually started out as a five-day carnival, beginning like on a Thursday evening, or even maybe it was even actually started on Wednesday in those early years. And anyone you run into, if you travel or you go anyplace else in northern Ohio, you'll hear people, you tell them, oh, you're from Garfield Heights, and, oh, we used to go there, used to go to St. Monica, went to the carnival. Anyone and their brother would be there. It was something that people really looked forward to, not just from our parish or community, but from all over the area here in Garfield Heights and Maple Heights.
I know that we spoke earlier. I mean, you had everything featured there from local celebrities would show up as well as things like boxing kangaroos. I mean, it was a big deal.
Yeah, there was even an appearance by, we all remember Jungle Larry and Captain Penny. That was really something. I mean, there would always be something. One year, someone decided we're going to have fireworks, and he blew off something like an atomic bomb. Well, it shattered windows all over the neighborhood.
Well, good Lord.
That was the last time that was tried. It just shook all the houses to pieces.
Wow. Yeah, it was. It had a great event. Now, it no longer exists, but I think, Father, you kind of replaced that. You have now, did you tell me, a parish picnic or something that you do now in the summer to gather the community together, at least the parishioners?
Yes, we do. We have a parish picnic as close to the Feast of St. Monica as we can. It's going to be 2 days after we have the special Mass. It's being hosted by 1260 AM Radio. It's going to be a couple of days later. It's going to be a big picnic out at our pavilion, and we're going to have lots of wonderful things, food and entertainment and outdoor Mass. And it's going to be a special day for our parishioners and anybody who wants to come.
Now, Father, tell us a little bit about other programs that the parish may offer. Again, we've talked about a demographic change in the community. You know, you have a different focus somewhat now. What kind of, whether it be outreach programs, liturgically related programs, does the parish offer?
Thank you for asking about that. One of the things we began to notice is the neighborhood was changing and many of our young families were moving out, we wanted to take care of the people who were still here in the community. That's our job, to evangelize, and that's what we decided to do, and we've been working on that. For example, our school here, when Father Lumiola and myself met, we both knew that we should take care of the people in our community, and many, many people are responding to that, and both of our parishes responded to it. We have a special place here on our grounds called Zelly's Home. This is a place for single mothers. There's a ministry here that's run by an organization that really takes good care of single mothers and makes sure the children can be born, and these mothers eventually, when they leave here, will have a place to live. That's supported by our parish. Block clubs meet here, just for our neighborhood. AA and Gamblers Anonymous hold their meetings here. We have a food pantry, which, we try to take care of the people in the area. And then we've been working for many years with Trinity High School. The ball diamonds that we have here are used by them, during the baseball season. We have a fish fry here every year, and we invite people from all over the place during the season of Lent to visit with us. And right now, during the summertime, different local football teams and baseball teams use our grounds. That's a special way. And then, of course, we have the food pantry. And, many of the people in our neighborhood need help, and, they need that food. We have a wonderful St. Vincent de Paul Society that does this. And then, of course, our real purpose here is to bring people into the Catholic Church. And our masses and sacraments are open to all the people in our community, and we always try to make them feel welcome. And one of the marks of St. Monica Church, and I'm very proud of, is, our people really make people feel welcome when they come here. And, I think that's what makes our outreach so special.
I've heard that throughout these conversations that I've had with other parishes, that type of hospitality and welcoming seems to be a real focal point for connecting in the community. And that's something you're obviously being able to accomplish, correct?
Oh, yes. And, I have to tell you, all the priests that have ever come here, including myself, within 1 or 2 days, we felt we were here for a year already. I mean, they always made us feel welcome. And I noticed that many, many people say the same thing when they, when they come here on a Sunday. They're made to feel welcome. And, I'm proud of our people. It's natural. It's something natural about our area. So,
Father, how can someone learn more about St. Monica Parish?
Well, we have a website, the St. Monica website. It's kept up by one of our staff members, Bob Soder, and he keeps it up on a weekly basis, all the different things happening around here. And also, we have a website for St. Benedict Catholic School for anybody who'd like to find out more about that particular school, too.
Well, that sounds like a great way for people to get acquainted, so we'll ask them to go to those websites, whether it be the parish or the school. Well, you've been listening to Where We Worship. This is your host, Bob Tayak. This presentation featuring St. Monica Parish in suburban Garfield Heights, Where We Worship, a production of AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio, focusing on the essential aspects of community worship and participation in our Catholic life, and is written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2, prayer as a community is essential for our spiritual growth and personal well-being. God does not intend for us to bear our crosses alone.
Thank you for listening to Where We Worship with host Bob Tayak, presented by AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. If you missed any part of today's show, listen to the program in its entirety by going to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.